after the podcast. If you're a Luke Bryan fan, you're going to be so happy. Luke Bryan interview coming up after the closing jingle of the podcast. If you're sticking around for that, it's a good almost 20 minutes of hanging out with Luke and talking about silly stuff. Don't miss out on that. Again, right at the end of the podcast, you'll hear the jingle. Don't turn off the podcast. You got a bunch of extra bonus stuff there with Luke Bryan.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Oh, the podcast is coming to you from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. They are the sponsor of the show. Thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts for being just plain awesome. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I just got my little notification on Facebook saying Big D and Bubba is live now. No, it says Big D and Bubba is live. Even though it should be. I think it's talking about us as a collective unit. You're getting our live?
No, I'm saying it. Isn't it proper to say R?
Yes, because there's two of us. But it's saying that we're like a one. Like Big D and Bubba is one. Big D and Bubba is live right now. So if you don't follow us on Facebook, what you waiting on? Go to Facebook and search Big D and Bubba, and you'll be able to find us right there. Look for the blue verified check mark so you know it's really us. Because believe it or not, there are actually a couple fakes out there. Have pages, and it's just it's more like fan pages, I guess.
Hi, Starfish, number six. I'm just kind of reading people who are on
your fan. Hi,
Starfish. You rock.
You rock.
Melody, I love her. Yeah, man, it's here we are.
I said that is a UFO.
That's our new gold. And we're not going to dive into the UFO thing this week. Yeah. We're not going to do it because I know people are like, oh, there they go again. No, that was a different gold last week. Last week it was, So it's two golds in a row that are UFO related. However,
I said that is a UFO.
However, we're not going to dive into it. If you want to know our thoughts on what's been going on or what's not been going on, go and check out last week's episode. It's great and it's interesting. And that's all we're going to say on that. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
What was
we can leave after that.
That might be a gold next week.
Hi.
Yeah, busy week, man. We had a lot of stuff going on. Luke Bryan was on the show this morning, and that'll be on the podcast, as you said.
His new album is good.
No, his latest, the new album is really good, and it's good to kind of hang out and catch up with him. As we've known him for a long time. I remember when he first came in. You know, for a while there, Luke was, he's now an A artist. You know, you categorize. He's definitely an A artist. Then, at the time, he was a C artist.
Well, everybody starts off as a nobody.
But, I mean,
Wait a minute. When you're a nobody, we usually call those C artists.
No, we call those new artists. C artist is a guy who's been around for a couple of years but hasn't had any success. And he had one hit, and then, I guess the next couple just didn't really kind of take off. And then all of a sudden, Eric Church was a C artist. For years. And he went straight from that to
C to A.
Yeah, it was like, look, Eric Church, do not pass B.
Go ahead and collect your $200,000.
Do you think it's because just whoever hangs around, like if you stay around long enough and you're a C artist that you eventually get pulled on up?
No, it doesn't work.
Are there
that
some
way
C artists that have been C artists for a long time and still are? Like who?
I don't want to categorize people. Yeah, and then I get called out by
a record label or somebody's management.
Other radio people who think they know better, who like to
And radio people argue who's a B or a C or an A. Yeah, man.
I only argue in favor of who I think should be A artist. There was another radio guy who was telling me that Luke Combs was not a superstar a couple of months ago. And I'm like, dude, you're an idiot. Luke Combs
those are the same
Luke
people
Combs
that
might be the superstar right now.
Those are the people that didn't vote for Kane Brown for the award shows. I can't believe Kane Brown still hasn't won a major award
He hadn't been nominated for New Artist of the Year.
He's not even on the ballot now.
I think that was because now there's like some stipulation of how long you can be out or how many out or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's not even one of the people that you can vote for now for the CMAs. Because we voted today, Bubba and I.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, I did my votes.
I voted, I guess, when it came out.
Well, it's several stages. First, it's throw a name out in each category, and then they take the 15 or 20 people with the most suggestions, and they put those on a ballot and go pick five, and then that's how we all
pick your top five. Yeah,
whenever I get the email, it stops everything, and I'm like, okay,
time to go.
I'm gonna vote. Let's do it. I want my I voted sticker for the CMA.
Yeah, I wish they gave us a little I voted sticker. We didn't get that. We didn't even get an I voted. All I got was an email saying thank you for your vote.
Hey, screenshot that. Put that on your Facebook.
Oh, well, it's too late. I already
print it out and make it into a sticker.
That's right.
Thank you for voting.
A minimized sticker. I don't know, man. I voted for people. Like, I still voted for Garth for Entertainer of the Year.
Me too.
Even though he said don't do it.
Don't care.
Here's the thing. If he wins it and he said don't do it, what's going to happen? That's kind of why I made sure to vote for him.
He pulls the American Music Awards when he went up and said, thank you for giving me this, but I'm not going to accept it. It should have gone to Hootie and the Blowfish, and he left it sitting there.
And just leave it there.
Imagine if he did that.
Okay, now wait a minute.
I have a question on that. Get the AMA,
what I was going to ask. Did he get that and did they bring it? Because the one they give you on stage isn't the actual award that you get to bring home.
I don't know if he took it home, but what I can tell you is he left it sitting. A friend of mine called me after his announcement. What's up with your boy Garth? Blah, 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 blah. And he goes, I mean, like, what if they just give it to him and he doesn't accept it? I'm like, fun fact, that's happened before. Check your history. So
I bet
Garth?
He has it at his house.
I mean, sure, why not? I don't know. But how many trophies? Like, if you're like at that level of superstar and you've won like every award, because there's a few people who have done that,
like Elvis, where he converted his racquetball court into the trophy room.
They did that after he died.
Yeah. Just at some point go, man, this is a lot of shelf space. And go, maybe like you pick and choose and the rest of them go like
Garth Museum.
To a garage sale or something.
There'll be a Garth Museum and they're going to want all the awards.
Can I run it?
You should. I don't think there's many people who know more about Garth than you.
There's a lot of people who know a lot more than.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We
call them scary.
I'm sorry. Has he kissed them?
That will not be in the museum. Run that on a loop. No.
What are y'all doing on your phones?
I'm sorry, man. I've got to do this.
You got a fire you're putting out?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
See, like it always comes back to fire.
Personal.
Work.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Oh,
it's not a fire.
Oh, okay.
It's not a fire. It's not.
Okay.
Smoke showing.
I said it's a fire. It's not a fire. No. No,
okay, good. I'm like, do I need to get involved? Do we need to light something up? Let's do this.
Big shout out to my boy Art. We hadn't talked. It's a work-related thing. Art is the guy who makes these custom lit guitars for us in the back. He's an engineer in Laredo, and he does some great work. Like the stained glass one that's over there, all the artists come in, and they're all like,
everybody's like,
that is the coolest thing. We always tell them about Art stuff. Anyway, so I hadn't talked to Art in a while, and I thought he reached out because he had, a problem. And I'm like, oh, man, I hate dealing with problems. So I called him, and he's like, no, man, I just haven't talked to you in a while. I just wanted to kind of check in. I'm like, I needed to call you sooner, so it was my bad for not doing it. But it was very nice catching up with him. That was the day that we went and had, I ordered my two orders of plantains. Mm-hmm. That's right, my little wonderful banana-type thingies, and a giant plate of ceviche, and Patrick made fun of me.
Of course I did.
Doubling the plantains. So good.
Terry says that heard us talking about the chloroform thing. And am I the only one who's concerned that you guys have a comprehensive familiarity with the effect of chloroform?
I must have missed that.
Yeah, Big D was talking. We were talking about chloroform, and he said, it doesn't work like that. Like on TV, you see
the movies
people,
where they walk up and then people pass out instantly.
Yes,
yeah, this doesn't work like that.
How do you know?
Because I saw a thing on it. I watched a documentary on it.
Oh, well, there you go, Terry. He watched a documentary, and now he's an expert. That's Big D's MA.
That's right.
Now,
the best is Dexter. If you watch Dexter, mm-hmm. Dexter straight up put a needle in
he
there.
He injects you right now, in the neck.
With what? Chloroform?
No.
I don't know what he uses.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. It's a TV show.
Bleach, and he's killing the Corona?
No, it just knocks him out.
Yeah, because then he has to set you up on the kill table.
Have y'all ever seen Dexter?
I've never seen Dexter.
Oh,
it's so great. Except
for like the last two seasons.
The thing is, the first season, you're like, this is a good show. Then you watch season two, and you're like, this is an amazing show. And then you watch season four, and you go, this might be... Season four is literally the greatest season of television that's ever been made in television.
Yes. And then it falls off the show.
And then it's season like five, straight off
the
cliff.
I didn't mind the one with Julia Stiles, but when we find Hannah...
Stiles.
Yeah, I like that storyline, but then we get into Hannah...
He doesn't kill her, does she?
Does
he kill her?
Okay, good. No, spoiler. But then the Hannah, that's way off. And then the sister, when that gets all murky and messy, I think that's a mess.
Yeah, it's when...
I'm trying not to spoil.
Yeah, in the church.
Yeah.
It's okay. The show has been out for 15 years.
And her
you can
admission.
Spoil.
Yeah.
That, yes. Yeah. But, I mean, season four is
so what he
TV
does,
perfection.
What he does is he works for the Miami-Dade Homicide Police Department, whatever, mm-hmm. and he's the blood splatter guy. So when there's a murder, he goes in and he can see, you know, he's the lines and all the scientific stuff, and he's real nerdy and awkward socially, and he finds out about these cases, and then he goes and he hunts them down on his own outside of the police. He's a different person outside of his work.
Yeah.
He's a serial killer of serial killers.
His dark passenger.
So that's is right. he a good guy then? Because
because he's actually a serial killer. It's
but
just
if
that
he,
he's,
if you have a serial killer who only kills serial killers.
But here's
then,
no, but
think
let
about
me explain.
All, okay.
You're not listening.
Okay, I'm
okay.
sorry.
Okay. Let me tell you about Dexter. Okay. So Dexter is a killer. Dexter's been a killer since he's a child, killing animals and whatever. It was that his father put him on a path and said, we're going to let you kill, but these are the people you kill. So he's still a bad guy. It's just his father directed him to kill bad people.
Yeah, but I would think that still makes him kind of like a good
guy.
But
he's not a vigilante. But he's not killing. The only reason he's killing these people is because he just wants to kill.
He wants to satiate that desire.
Exactly. It's just his father set him
what
up with a code.
Creepy show.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Yeah,
so
but
good.
I would still think, how many serial killers on the show do you think he took out? I mean, over the
serial
seasons.
Serial killers?
Over the seasons.
I mean, he took out some. I mean, there's at least three.
So you think if one serial killer takes out three serial killers, you've just saved hundreds of lives. Mm-hmm. That makes him a good guy.
Did you love it?
No.
So he waits on whoever he's going to get, right?
Yes.
And he's really good about being sneaky and stuff. And he comes up and hits him with the syringe in the neck. It knocks him out. Then the next scene is the best. They are always naked, completely nude.
Yep.
And then they saran wrap down to whatever they're laying on.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole scene is set up. He has staged it. A lot of times he'll have pictures of the killer's victims.
Yep.
Or it could be a certain location.
So do the cops know that he's a killer of serial killers?
Not.
No.
I have a hard time saying serial killers. Mm-hmm. I want to say silly little.
Not till the, halfway through there.
Well, season two.
Yeah.
Dude figures it out.
Yeah.
But
he gets taken care
of.
Yeah,
he's,
taken care of.
Kaboom.
Did you ever read the Dexter books?
No, of course not.
Okay, well, the books that the show came from, I read them. They're bad. They're not good books. And I remember reading this going, somebody was able to read these and go, I can make these a TV show and they're going to be a million times better.
Well,
if I'd read these books, I'd be like,
yeah, but how many times have you seen people come up with good ideas and not execute? And that's probably what happened. Is a
my whole life.
Patrick's like,
my entire life, just one big walking, you know, sponge of ideas, throwing stuff out and going, nah, I'm not actually going to do that.
Yeah. So I mean, that's how they saw it.
That this guy got published, that was the thing. Somebody had to read these books because they were published. They were at a bookstore, but they are not good. Don't waste your time. Just watch the show.
I saw a thing yesterday where it's one of the Netflix is looking for new and original ideas for movie franchises. So if you've got, yeah, Carson's like, what?
I mean,
yeah,
I'm not
so
creative.
So if you've
but...
got a creative thing in your body, then go ahead and get in touch with the Netflix people and or maybe get a publicist or somebody, to an agent, to submit that to them. And I know it's not the easiest thing in the world, but if you've
Do
got
you know
your
I'm
idea
to
or a
out?
Book, what?
Okay. So we have Harry Potter, witches and wizards. Then we've got Twilight, which is werewolves and vampires. I'm looking for mythical characters that there hasn't been some huge franchise already made of, and I think that's our
Unicorns.
Golden ticket.
Well, I mean, yeah. My Little Pony,
like a
bro.
Whole, no,
yeah, but that's
different.
Not, yeah, no,
it's
no,
not
no,
unicorns,
adults.
That's ponies.
Yeah,
yeah
do
but,
what
do unicorns turn into people?
Yes.
Do they have to?
I mean, yes. Well, because what are you going to watch, like, two fake horses, like horses with little horns attached?
Dude, people with like, wings. Like,
well,
like,
you've seen, I don't know if
like
you've
angels.
Seen, there are people that
like,
believe
well,
they're
like,
unicorns.
Well, like, that's, what is it, Carnival Row is kind of has, like, fairies.
Yeah, okay, I didn't.
So.
Was that any good?
It was intriguing.
I
Orlando
never got,
Bloom was hot.
I watched
that's why
the
I watched
first
it.
5 minutes of it, and
yeah, it was
I,
all right.
I had to stop it for something, and I never went back.
Yeah, they're doing season two, but yeah, I think that's our golden ticket. Is you got to we got to find because I'm going trolls. Nah, nobody wants trolls. I've got to find the whatever because even Outlander, like time travel. I'm going. Oh, she killed me on the romance angle of time travel. I've got to yeah. find that thing, and then we'll get the next $1 billion idea.
Outlander's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Outlander, if you've never watched that, I mean, we could do like what Carson and Big D just did on Dexter mm-hmm. on Outlander because
yep.
it's that good and
it's
so
fantastic.
Great.
Hmm. I'm going to check that out.
You should. You should. I'm totally Team Claire.
Why y'all? That was not sarcasm.
Oh, okay. It is on Netflix. The first four seasons are on Netflix.
I'll check it out. That was sarcasm. Got you on the second turnaround. What are you guys doing for the weekend? You do anything fun?
No, I have no plans. Not a thing.
Nothing.
I'm gonna get on my Peloton.
How
at
you liking
some
that?
Point.
Yeah.
Like I told you on the show, I like it a lot. I mean, it's pretty awesome. I told you how I couldn't do the guy coaches. Like I tried. They have different coaches. They have guys and girls. I have a hard time with the dudes following along with the dudes. I'm just like not into them. Mm-hmm. So I have to have a girl coach.
Okay.
And it just, I don't know, it's weird. Why would that ever be? I've never had a coach like that in my life. Not for...
Oh, yeah. That is weird. I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
Does it seem more intimate or something?
I don't know. Like, I just think it's... I mean, I don't know. It's more interesting to me to look at and have somebody... The motivation seems genuine. Like, when the guys do it, it just sounds fakey. But that's just to me. And I know it's weird. And it's weird too, out of all the different coaches, because I've tried a bunch of different coaches, out of all the different coaches, all of them are the American people except for one. And I don't know the names, so I apologize if anybody has a Peloton and they're into their coaches, because I didn't realize that's a thing. People are into their, they have their coach. There's this one British girl I really like, and she's awesome.
You should tweet at her, because sometimes they'll give you shout outs.
Why did you just open that door to that?
They're on Twitter?
Yeah, because they're all like at Peloton Susie or at Peloton
I thought that was
Jen.
Just like their Peloton name.
Nope, no, they do. I know people who've gotten shout-outs.
Oh, and wow. It's like, I mean, shout-out from the Peloton coach. My goodness.
Can you imagine?
Now your life must be made.
My friend Melissa was so excited. To get the shout-out from her coach.
How lame is that? That is something that
well,
you're...
Well, I'm sorry, Melissa. Apparently, you're lame, according to Patrick.
No, Melissa, you're cool.
See?
Yeah. Speaking of people giving shout-outs, I want to give some shout-outs to Melody and Billy and Angel, who are watching us right now on Facebook.
It's like romper room up in here.
And I see...
I'm just joking about it being lame.
Oh, it's totally
I used
lame.
To, when I was a little kid.
Don't joke. That's so lame.
When I was a little kid, I used to watch, you were talking about the shout outs and all that. I forget, what was the show where the lady had the little, it's like a magnifying glass or a mirror
romper
or whatever?
Romper room.
Romper room.
That's what I said.
She said my name one time and I freaked out. Like, I thought she could really see me. I went and I hid. I hid and I was crying and I'm like, she saw me. I thought it was witchcraft.
Okay, if you get a reply from your Peloton coach, I hope you have the exact same reaction.
Like,
you run away from your bike.
Well, there is, you know how I am. I cover all the webcams and all that in my house. On the Peloton, there is a camera built in to the monitor. And I'm like, I want to cover this.
What is good?
Well, Stacy told me it's so they can they can do like some kind of, I don't know, man. There's supposedly like a chat version or something or other. And like everybody, kind of like, I guess, Zoom. I don't know. I've never used it that deep. I'm just saying.
You will. You'll get into
eventually
it.
Eventually I'll get into it. Well, I don't know. All I know is I get on there and I pedal and I do what they tell me to do and that's it.
How's your VR goggles?
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So what I did is I bought those little cheap VR goggles, the ones that you can get on Amazon that you put your phone into. I got some of those, and then on the Peloton, you hit the button, just says go riding, you know, or something like that, and you just go and you ride. But I put on the thing, and I do VR tour of, and it could be anything.
Oh, you do that on YouTube?
Yeah, you do that on YouTube, and then you hit play. And you get on the bike and you're riding around like you're taking a tour of Washington, D.C. And you're sitting there looking around and you're like, whoa, this is cool. And then you go down the beach and, you know, I've done one where I've taken a little cruise down the beach and different places, you know, VR tour of Sydney, Australia or whatever. And you just get on your bike and you're looking around and it's on YouTube in the little selections like, you know, where you do your quality and all that. They have a little headphone or it looks like goggles almost. If you click on that, it doubles it up, and then whenever you're in the VR thing, it looks like it's all right there in front of you.
In theater mode, or is it in settings? Or do you
Man,
know?
I don't know. My phone is being used right now for the podcast, I don't know.
Hey, are they? Do you like those goggles? I mean, I know they're kind of clunky.
They're cheap. They're clunky. They serve the purpose. It occupies my eyes, and I don't think about writing.
Can you see? Okay, so
it looks like you have blinders on, so yeah. It looks like you can't see right here unless you turn and look. Then you can see everything,
right?
Because it's VR, so it's 360 degrees. You look up, you look down, you got all.
But
that.
Like the Oculus, it's all like it cuts out all that.
Oh, does it? It covers.
You can't see anything. I mean, it totally blocks out everything.
Yeah. No, this looks like.
So you have some sort of awareness of outside world.
Yeah. So another. Well, you don't have awareness of outside world. You know how like whenever you look through binoculars, mm-hmm. it looks like the two circles in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, except it looks like a TV screen in front of you, or like a window.
Do you have to like relax your eyes to let it to
no.
so your eyes don't try and.
No.
Okay.
No.
How much were they?
Like they were $30. It was. It was like a no-name brand, whatever, something or other, and you put your phone into it.
I would love that. I want to do that because I don't want to go.
I'll bring it Monday. You can try it out at least just in here wearing it and kind of tell me what you see, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then imagine if you're just riding a bike and you're taking a bike tour of something. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to go ahead and get, I know you were talking about the Oculus. I want to get an Oculus and I want to be able to lay out in a hammock on my back patio with the Oculus on and turn on the thing and say, okay, I want a VR of whatever beach. And you just sit on the beach and, you know, you don't know if you're totally aware that you're looking on the beach.
Yeah.
It'll feel like you're there.
Cause you have headphones on.
You have headphones on.
You get all
on.
The sound effects and all that.
I want that. And I'm not there yet.
Or you could go to the beach.
Or you could go to the beach. But there are days
you
can't.
Yeah, but man,
I don't
like
that much.
I'm that guy's like, you know, if you want to go to Rome, man, first off, it's expensive. You got to go to the airport.
Then you
got to get in a seat. You got to fly for hours. You got to get over there. You got to get. When all I want to do is just kind of feel like trick my brain is saying that I did it.
And even when you get to somewhere like Rome, you want to go take a tour of the Colosseum. Well, then you're stuck in a group with 40 other people.
You miss
shuffling
things.
Around. Right. And instead, you're taking this VR tour where it's just you.
Then my feet hurt. And then my back hurts.
That's what I'm
saying.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree.
It's still not.
That's
perfect.
That's why I want to do it. I want to get those.
I've seen
goggles.
Pictures and videos of Paris. It doesn't hold up. It doesn't.
The smells and all that. That's
and the
where
whole
it's.
Thing, the perspective of all of it. The Eiffel Tower is dull in pictures. It's amazing to see from different parts of the city. It just, I don't know. It just is. And I've seen.
I don't think it's amazing to see because, you know, I've done it. And it's not amazing to see. It's amazing to be aware that every time you see it off in the distance, you go, I'm in Paris.
Burgess Falls, which is in about an hour east of Nashville, is spectacular. It's the largest, it's the second largest waterfall this side of the Mississippi River.
Say it right. This side of the Mississippi.
It's enormous. It really is. I've never seen a picture or a video that did it justice. Just to stand there and see it and to feel small standing next to it because it's so freaking big. I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I can imagine that the Grand Canyon is the same way. There's no way. Maybe we'll get there with the VR stuff, but the videos, even with the full goggles, the whole thing, it's just not going to be the same as seeing it with human eyes. So,
yeah, I get it. Know. But yeah, I'll give you that.
That's some things. Now, like you said, walking through Rome, I'm sure it's, you know, I can see most of this
stuff.
Dude,
you can do a bicycle tour of Thailand without the risk of getting whatever disease that,
well,
you know.
The risk of going to Thailand. Like, I've read Bridget Jones. I know what's going on over there.
The comedian we had on, I'm trying to remember his name, Jamie Kaler, just a couple of weeks ago. He was talking about going to Pakistan or something and saying we could smell it from the ship when we were in the Navy. I'm like, oh, I can. Yeah, okay.
Well, I remember
it just
that.
Just has a
going to Korea, you know, and I before I loved kimchi, I was like, what in the heck is this smell? Yeah. And it was kimchi. And now I'm like, if I smell it, I'm like, oh my gosh! I start mouth watering. Watering up now.
Were you working here when he ate the kimchi in the studio?
Yes.
Oh God, yes. It stank for days.
Yes, it. Mm-hmm.
It did not.
It did. It did. It stank from across the room. As soon as you popped open that.
Across the room.
I'm not going to lie, though. Patrick got that Thai food the other day. Ugh. That thing permeates the entire.
Got to throw it out, man.
And then.
Got to get out of the
room. It was just when he was eating it.
Yeah.
It just. And then if it's spicy.
I don't like when people heat things up in a work kitchen and eat stuff.
Stinky. You know?
I don't like anything. Like, it all kind of stinks to me.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm smelling their breath. I don't know why I feel that way. It's gross. I don't like sitting in a seat after someone.
I hate butt warmth.
I don't like
pre-warmed
it.
Chairs are just gross.
I told you that's when I get so mad. If you go to the movie theater with the assigned seats and you've picked your seat and you show up and somebody's sitting in your seat and you have to be like, hey, that's my seat. And it's because they've warmed your seat up.
It's gross.
Gross.
It is.
It's like you laid your head on my pillow, and my pillow's not cool anymore.
Yeah, that whole thing of like, hey, I warmed it up, and that's a good thing. It's not a good thing.
No, I'm going to go warm up your seat, sir.
Well, that's
why
I don't like sitting in people's chairs at offices, because not only do you get the warmth, but believe it or not, with those soft, and you know where I'm going with this, because you know I have a big issue with this, those soft, cushiony chairs like everybody has in an office. The fabric ones with the foam. They soak up people's butt smell. And now, and I know it sounds crazy. You guys are laughing.
But it's true.
But it's true. If you sit in somebody's seat that they've had for a long time, you warm it up. And when you warm it up, you smell their butt smell.
It's all heat release.
It's all heat release. And it is so nasty and gross to me. That's why I'm like, please have leather or vinyl chairs. Because
And the thing is, it, like, it hits you in little weird whiffs. Like you're like,
yeah. Yeah, and you're like, is that me?
Is that, am I?
And you're like, no, you know what it is, because it's straight off that chair, because it's got a little bit of butt smell with the foam mix. It's a weird thing. It's, oh,
this is horrific.
Office butt smell is the worst. And if you don't believe me, when you get off your butt chair, I mean your chair at work
don't
or whatever.
Smell your chair.
Smell your chair.
We will not be held responsible for your coworker or your boss walking by and seeing you smelling your chair.
Everyone smelled their chair.
I have never smelled my chair.
You've never smelled
I've smelled your chair.
I'm so weird.
Not by choice.
And then, and then you sit in the chair, and then you it's on your clothes, and you take it home.
Exactly.
Then you get in your car,
yes.
And it's still on you. It gets in your fabric.
Yes.
Now you just became a carrier.
Yes.
A carrier.
He's a super carrier.
That's right.
You know what my favorite thing is? Whenever you get in your car and you put on your seatbelt, and it smells like your cologne or whatever, you go, that's nice. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm sure girls have the same thing with perfume. You go to put it on, you're like, my seatbelt smells amazing.
I smell it occasionally on my pillow that I smell my hair stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, pumpkin ginger. How fresh.
So pumpkin nice. Ginger is yeah, what I your use... pillow smells like.
Well, it's because it's what I use in my hair.
So hold on. Attention, guy who has been stalking Carson, pumpkin ginger is her smell.
Yeah. That's my hair stuff.
That dude, we got to talk a little bit about that, because that's a pretty crazy thing. Some guy is like really into Carson, reached out, and he's like, first thing he says is, I love you.
Yes.
Like, I love you. Not like I love your show or anything like that. I love you.
I love you. Followed up with the love poem. Yep. Yep.
Dudes don't have that. We don't live in the same worlds.
No.
Like, I guess.
Carson's also a little different than
okay,
most.
Yeah, but let's be honest. When the script is flipped, y'all accuse her of being a bunny boiler. And then the guy does it to me, and everyone's what? Like, oh, you should. Like, in Fatal Attraction, when Glenn Close, she gets obsessed
boiler,
with him.
The crazy
yeah.
chick. Yeah.
She boils a bunny.
She boils his pet rabbit on the stove.
I never saw it.
That is the fifth what? Level like of crazy. Yeah. My buddy Drew and I used to have the five levels of crazy. It was crazy, or cute crazy is level one. Then there's plain crazy. Then there's bat bleep crazy. Then there's we'll move in next door to you after you break up with her crazy. Okay. And then there's crockpot bunny crazy, or cook your bunny on a stove crazy. That's level five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing past that.
There's nothing past that. I mean, there's kill you in your sleep crazy, I guess, but that's too much. Like, that's, you know, so we don't put that as one of the five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have dated all but the fifth. I never dated the level five crazy, but I dated a couple of level fours.
And do you find that there's more? Is there a graph of there's less at the beginning, more in the middle, less at the end?
A lot of ones. Well, here's the thing: every woman I've ever met is some level of crazy.
Well, every person, I think it's fair to say every human has a level of crazy.
That's cute. Good cop it, but I don't date
no,
you.
No, it's true, so, though. Dude, you have a level of crazy. Does Patrick have a level
hello,
of crazy?
Ma'am.
Do
you
I
may
have a level of crazy?
Oh, ma'am,
yes.
I know you're trying to tell a joke, but let me correct you in the middle of it. The difference between level one, cute crazy, and level two, plain crazy, is how cute you are. That's it. For dudes, the equivalent would be hot creepy. Am I right?
Yep.
The difference between that's it.
Like, you can be a sparkly vampire in my bedroom and I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
If that's a normal dude, I'm not.
Yeah. Here's an example. I went on a date with a girl. She used to keep stuffed animals. She was single. She had stuffed animals in the back seat of her car. And on her way to work, she talked to them. They were like her friends. Now, is that cute crazy or just plain crazy?
Well, how cute was she?
Exactly. Because if she looks like, you know, I don't know, Jaina Kramer, then, you know, that's so cute. It's just a little crazy. If she looks like me, then... Oh,
did she take the carpool lane?
Oh, dude, this is a real story. Talked to the stuffed animals on her way to work every morning. It was her way of getting ready to talk to real people. It helped kind of psych her up for. I'm like, and I'm listening to this going, you're not cute enough to be this crazy. That's always the kicker. If she's super hot,
what you're gonna put up with.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the hot crazy line, they call it.
So your guy says he loves you, and that's a big sign to you, right?
Yep.
No. But if he looks like what's the Skarsgård?
Yeah, Alexander Skarsgård. I mean,
care.
Trust me. If Skarsgård comes like, exactly. I love you, all right.
You'd be like, I love you too.
Exactly. I'd be like, well.
I just found out, you don't watch Vikings, do you?
Mm-mm. I need to.
The guy who plays Floki on Vikings is Alexander Skarsgård's brother.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Watching the credits and went, I wonder if they're related. Yeah. And sure enough, they are.
Well, that's like the guy that plays Pennywise is a Skarsgård, is a brother.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all over. Dad is an actor. But it really is. There's just something weird when you send an email and say, like, I love you and here's a love poem. It's, you know, I get it. People think I'm harsh, but you could just be like, hey, really enjoy listening to you. And I think when I've heard you, maybe we'd have a lot in common or whatever. Like, just be cool. Like, everybody just be cool.
Yeah.
Like, don't come in doing 100, man. Like, back it up.
That's what he said.
So, yeah. And also the playlist was, oof, boy, you got to be careful what songs you're sending me. Like when you get a little too mushy, I kind of run the other way with the mush.
Yeah. Anytime you send somebody a playlist, it's like you're bearing your soul to someone.
Yeah.
And I think it's very dangerous, too, because you put out the wrong thing as the first one or two songs, and they think you're completely on that end.
Yeah, yeah. It's
like, what was the first song? Do you remember what the
first one was? Blake Shelton, Over.
Yeah.
And then it was the Chris Jansen, Done. That was the one I was like, yeah, yeah, step it on back. And Garth Brooks, To Make You Feel My Love, was a meh. But then when you hit Hero from Enrique Iglesias, nope. That's when you have like taken it. Like, I remember being in junior high, and every stupid couple that got together at the end of eighth grade was like, our song is Everything I Do It For You from Bryan Adams. And it's like, you're 12. What are you doing? Like,
what exactly are you doing for him?
I die for you? What is wrong? Like, even then I knew. I'm like, well, that's weird.
That's
like,
weird.
I'm like, oh, me and my boyfriend, our song was like Shiny Happy People. Like, yeah.
You're not the easiest.
I am rough. Everyone's, I'm a rough customer.
We're all different. We're all different. I was just watching now that Sturgis is going on, and in South Dakota, which is a huge bike rally. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Sturgis. It's like a really small little kind of a western like town. And but during this, I don't know if it's, how long is the, is it a week, 2 weeks? I don't know, but it gets wild.
I think my cousin is there.
Yeah, 250,000 people are there. They're just talking about what's going to happen with the coronavirus.
I have friends who play there every year. I have a couple of musician friends who, like, they are a regular gig for Sturgis, and they say it's the best. They have a great time, but it gets, I think there's things that, like, they don't tell you. Like, they're like, I'm not going to tell you that story. It's just what happens in Sturgis stays in Sturgis kind of thing.
Yeah, it gets a little crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that should be a fun next 2 or 3 weeks when they get home.
Yeah.
Not feeling so great.
All right, guys. I'm sorry. I got a little
distracted.
Yeah, a little distracted. Patrick had me looking at some stuff. We were talking about crazy, and we saw a little bit of it pop up.
Yeah, we got a little crazy pop up.
Somebody showed
great.
Their face.
Okay. That was awesome. Yeah. I don't really want to say more than that. It's great.
Excellent.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, here's Luke Bryan. We got a chance to talk to him, and that new album, it really is good, so check that out. Have a great time. Thanks to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day as the song takes us out.
I said that is a UFO.
This was the podcast, but now it's over, but that's okay. You can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
What was this?
It was the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, Luke Bryan?
What's up?
Hey, where'd you get your the train horn for your truck?
Oh, God. You know, my farm manager made all that happen. So it just appeared on there, and you know what its main use is? Are to just scare the hell out of your friends.
It's, you're right. Have you seen the videos of the guys drive around and they honk at people like coming out of Target?
I have not seen that one.
Oh, they're hilarious. There's this one guy we know who has a little tiny Miata, and he put the train horn mounted in the trunk. And it is so loud because people are looking around for a semi when he's coming through. It's the best.
The problem with me is if I were to go do it on strangers, somebody
twist
their ankle, break their leg, and, you know, we'd be
lawsuit city.
You'd be right in the check.
So I use it to punish the people I love the most.
They're pretty great. Hey, man, congratulations on the album, Born Here, Live Here, Die Here. One Margarita is on there. I remember the first time I heard One Margarita, I was like, oh, man, here we go. It's a great summer. It's going to be another summer song. And I kind of was like,
back when we thought we were going to have a summer?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, dude, this is what we need right now. And I can't believe we're all in stupid masks. Oh, terrible time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, I have personally set personal drinking records during quarantine.
Yeah.
And
you're not the only one.
Yeah, I told somebody, I said, because I've been like riding, cycling a lot on the road. Like, I'm probably averaging about 100, 110 miles a week. And when you are cycling 110 miles a week and still putting on weight, you might be drinking too much during quarantine.
I was texting. Paisley said that he started drinking because of all this. He's not a big drinker, and he started drinking.
Well, dude, I hardly drink, and then, like, I've gone through several bottles over the course of all this.
Several bottles?
Yeah.
Of wine?
Of everything.
Oh.
I mean, Hendrix and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I like to mix it up now.
Do you have, going back to masks, do you have a Luke Bryan mask? Are y'all pimping those?
Selling one of those?
Yeah, we are selling those. Those are available on LukeBryan.com. All places where you can purchase Luke Bryan items next to the thongs. Just playing.
Do you still have the thongs?
I don't have thongs.
I thought you had thongs. Or did we say that as a joke once upon a time?
Yeah, I've been going commando a lot during...
Really?
I'm just playing. I'm being... Caffeine is at full pitch right now.
It's kicked in completely.
Caffeine is firing. All the little receptors in my brain are just flying.
How many albums is this now?
This is seven. It gets a little confusing, but it's seven. Everybody says it's seven, but I put, you know, I had those Spring Break albums come out. So we put two or three, we've had a lot of EPs that we... I would say nine total, but when you look at like the structure of it, I think it's seven.
Yeah, because they do some, like, do you have a Christmas album? I don't even know.
You know, I hadn't done a full Christmas album yet. I've done, you know, three or four Christmas songs through the years, and but hadn't went that route. And, you know, what's crazy to think about is when you look at the average time of an album cycle being about 2 years, and then you know you've done seven albums, that means 14 years of albums out, which is pretty wild. The fact that I can have 14 years in this business is pretty amazing.
Yeah. If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing?
You know, I don't know. I'd probably be in some form of agriculture down in Georgia, or I've often said my brother-in-law was pretty involved in real estate and, you know, owning like duplexes and stuff. So maybe I'd have maybe I'd be the Southern Georgia real estate mogul. Who knows? But you know, I'm happy every day kind of guy. And so, you know, as long as I could do something where I work hard and love it and then go do my hunting and fishing and all that stuff. I mean, I was having a blast down there doing that. I'm just so thankful that I had a lot of support and a support group of people in Georgia that just kind of said, get your butt to Nashville and chase your dreams, and here we are.
Yeah, there's so many people who don't do that. You know, I saw a video the other day. It was some dad, his daughter had recorded him for like TikTok or something, and she was like, "Dad, people are making fun of me because I want to be a model." And he was like, "You want to be a model? Do it. You go be a model. No one can tell you what you can and can't do. You go do it." And there's so many people who have a dream of being an artist or a songwriter or a farmer or a scientist,
whatever the dream may be, right?
Man, do it. Go for it. I mean, you might fail, of course. That's always a possibility. But you know what? You might not either. You might, think about where you growing up, doing your thing, you like to sing, and then all of a sudden you kind of get pushed and do this, and you get a deal. And I remember back in the day when you first came out, And you had good success. You had a couple of songs here and there. They're doing well, and you just kind of grind it out. You just keep going. You kept doing it, and then all of a sudden it pops. And now look at you. You've got a guy. You have a farm manager.
Well, man, you know, I wake up every day and I look around and I just look around and I truly like. Thank God for the things in my life and the abilities and you know, if you'd have told me when I moved to Nashville that one day I was gonna, you know, have a farm that I could go take my boys fishing at or just go, you know, put deer stands up and then host people. I mean, I enjoy, you know, just having stuff so I can share it with people and enjoy it. Now I'm not saying I would share it with you guys, so don't even go there.
Okay.
But,
all right. That's
not an invite.
Noted.
Boys.
Okay, got it. Yeah. You don't have to keep saying we got it the first time.
We just want to go fishing, dude. That's all we want to do.
I don't want to. I hate fishing.
You're crazy.
Dude, I don't like hunting. I don't like fishing. I wish we could go hunting. Here's the best. The best part about hunting, Luke, is to go do all the stuff, put on all the gear, go in your cool truck, go get have your
tell
gun,
the stories,
do this stuff, hang out with the guys, and then go. I wish you could shoot the animal. It drop. You take a picture, and then you like rub its head, and it pops up and runs away like an uninjured.
Yeah, it doesn't really work that way.
I know.
No, it doesn't. Actually, here's the thing. We can go hunting and fishing. Big D can grill and smoke all the stuff because that's his thing.
I love to cook.
So you can cook what we harvest.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you could get out there and just shoot deer with a paintball gun. And
Dude, that if that ever got out,
there's
would
a bunch
be...
of polka dot deer running around.
You can shoot them with marshmallows, okay, if you're worried about their...
Their well-being. Yeah. All right, Luke Bryan's with
funny,
us.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people beat up hunters, but then, you know, man, the bumper of a car... Is pretty brutal.
And also don't forget how much money is being pumped into the conservation efforts and the national parks and everything by hunters and fishermen.
There you go. What good plug.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And also Hunters for the Homeless, there's programs. Hundreds of thousands of tons of meat has been donated to the homeless population. I mean, people just don't talk about the good side of hunting. They only talk about the bad. And if you want to concentrate on the negative of anything, that's all you're going to get out of it. Hunting, fishing, so great. It's outdoors. It's survival type stuff. And you're doing good for everyone on the planet.
Thanks, son.
There you go. You're the international spokesperson for killing animals.
Wow. We were quite impressed, Bubba. That was nice.
Do you know how many mice die for a loaf of bread?
All right. Luke Bryan's with us. We're going to take a break. Coming right back with Luke.
Yeah,
Hagler.
Like die by getting their neck snapped. That's right. Get your mousetrap.
Luke Bryan's joining us. The album is called Born Here, Live Here, Die Here. Bubba, you have the...
My song on there is Build Me a Daddy. Oh, my gosh, man. I'm going to play a little bit.
I've heard you can build anything. Could you build me a daddy?
Oh, jeez.
Awesome.
Oh. Strong as Superman. Make him 10 feet tall with a southern drawl and a crooked smile if you can, cause I sure miss him. Maybe you could bring him back. If I walked in with him, it sure make mama happy. If you could build me a daddy.
Dude.
Good Lord.
I know.
I mean,
I went
about
there.
To cry. Like, listening to that right now, it almost makes me cry listening to it. And hell, I'm the dumbass singing it.
I mean, that song is so powerful. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, done, sold, hello. One Margarita, Knockin' Boots, all those songs are great. What She Wants Tonight, yeah, great, 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 great. Build Me a Daddy just rips your heart out.
Yeah, man, that's so good.
That's the beauty of country music. We have all fun stuff, and then, bam, we hit you hard.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've really loved, I mean, when I look back over kind of, my crazy career. I mean, I've really been happy that I can do a song like Drink a Beer 1 minute and then do a song One Margarita and then do a song that you know, I mean, I'm really happy that I have a big sandbox of different material I can kind of, you know, throw at my fans and throw it at guys like yourself. And, you know, Build Me a Daddy is the second I heard that song, your first kind of thing is, oh, this is just too sad. I mean, it's just too deep. It's too rough. It's too tough for people to hear. But, you know, the beauty of country music fans is they really love to feel those emotions in a song. And I started playing this, you know, I started playing the demo to several of my, you know, my buddies that out on the road, and they're hearing it. And, you know, people are crying and they're showing emotions. And I'm like, you know, a song, you can't be scared of a song that draws up emotion. So we knew it was going to affect people very emotionally, and so we went and cut it, and it just turned out amazing.
I always look at it like this. I mean, you have people like George Jones who did not like He Stopped Loving Her Today at first. He thought it was the worst song ever, but
right,
it was,
I mean,
such it connected with so many people, and that's the same kind of thing with this song. I think, I don't know if you're ever going to release it. I don't know if that's in the cards or whatever, but it's powerful, and you know, it's on the album. So people, go pick up Born Here, Live Here, Die Here, and you're going to find that on there, as well as, you know, 9, 10 other great songs.
Who says they're great?
Well,
Bubba did. Some of your stuff is garbage, but most of it is okay. I mean, some of the stuff I'm like, holy God, are we playing this? Really?
Yeah.
Like,
what's funny is, I mean, these days, you know, that's kind of a compliment. I thank you for the compliment.
Have you been out to Jason's water park yet?
You know what? I mean, I'm a little mad at him because, yeah, he basically took my home and just took a big old dump on what I built. I thought, you know, I'm proud of my home. I've got this. I mean, he essentially built the MGM Grand and Casino. And, yeah.
It's...
So I haven't seen it yet, but he, you know, I think the weekend that he had some buddies out, Caroline and I were traveling, and then, but yeah, the second I can go out there and like, you know, pee in one of his fountains or something, you know, I'll be.
It's
I'll
like
be really
it
happy.
Looks like it's like Six Flags. He's got so much.
Dude,
money. He's got a
the
bowling
fake palm
alley.
Trees. Everything is just. It's all like wow.
Do you have a bowling alley?
You know what?
Okay, you do.
I do not have a bowling.
Oh, you
alley.
Don't. All right.
Do you have an archery range?
Well, I do. I have an archery range. Listen, here's the deal. You know, it just there's this. You should have never gave us rednecks money. I mean, you cannot just hand rednecks money, and. I mean, we're just not it. Does, like no. Like I said, I mean, what you know, what do I do with a normal Denali? Well, I put you know an 8-inch lift kit on it and 35-inch tires and put a train horn on it. That's what happens when rednecks get money.
That's right.
And so Jason, you know, he gets you know, let's just say he's you know, he's just rich and
yeah.
He decides to build a damn bowling alley. And you know what? I just got to go over there and bowl on his bowling alley, and he comes and fishes in my bass lake. So
I could totally see the wives though comparing, like, how big is your closet? Oh, my closet is 2,500 square feet. Oh, is it?
I got.
And then they go home
mine.
And they're like, Luke, I need a bigger closet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the thing about it is you know, I think what's really we're very charitable, boys. We're very charitable. Mm. Also, we do great things.
Oh, we're not taking away from anything, nor are we knocking the success. We're fans of success. I'm all about success.
Up.
I love seeing people succeed and get something out of it. That's the American way. That's what makes this country great. You can go from being homeless to living like you guys and like that.
Is
all
charity,
you have to do is come up with an idea.
Is that her Caroline's middle name or something?
Yeah, Caroline Charity Bryan.
Gives it all to charity.
What's funny is we did have Caroline and I have a foundation together, and through the years, like 50 to 75 cents from every ticket I sell, we put it in the foundation, and you know we spread it out and have fun with it. And then once you know COVID hit, you know. Caroline walks in over coffee, and she's like, I'm just telling you that, you know, I kind of accidentally emptied our foundation over the past week. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, yeah, I pretty much spent all the money on donations and stuff. And I'm like, why are you apologizing? She was like, well, I just feel bad that I didn't talk to you about it really and truly. I'm like, it was just funny. It was a cute moment because she just got carried. I mean, you know, in the moment of you see
yeah.
all the
– Yeah, you want to help. You want to help?
Like, she was just like, blah, and she just went on a charitable rampage.
You get a mask.
That's what it's there for, though.
That's right.
I mean, I'm like, baby, did you leave me any money where I can donate to the Mallard Duck Foundation to create more duck flyways and, you know, hunting charities?
Yeah, babe, there's 75 cents left.
Yeah, there you go. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, go buy your 3 duck eggs and hatch them.
Congrats on the album, man. It's called Born Here, Live Here, Die Here, from Luke Bryan. Dude, it's good talking to you. Take care and congratulations, Brian.
Love y'all. Thanks for everything, boys.
All right, take care, man.